We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Well, I think you have to state what it is. I mean, it's a heck of a rivalry, right? It's the best tradition, you know, best rivalry in football. You know, so you got to state that. That's a fact. The other thing is that, you know, this is one game, right? This is the only game we can control, you know, and we control one play at a time. This preparation for this week, you know, playing against this opponent, this week one, you know, so you got to micro it down for them too. And so that's how you win the game, right? You might do it one play at a time and do it all the way through the game. So you just talk to them that way.
Coach Eberflus talking about the Packers right there. That's why I got a mute button, bro. I love radio sometimes. And hide my faults. I'm curious, Ant. We're going to take phone calls in a second. 312-644-6767. Get those calls in. Talking about Bears, Packers, what are your predictions? But I heard Eberflus talk right there about one play at a time. Would you say winning a game, Ant? And I know you're still listening to me because you can do two things at once. Is it what is more of a reason to win a game? Is it that one play at a time mentality, or is it make the fewest amount of mistakes?
I'm sorry. What's up?
Fewest amount of mistakes, or really looking at it like one play at a time. What do you think factors into a win more?
The mistakes with a team like this that I'm about tangible evidence. And so DJ Moore, proven playmaker in this league. Aside from that, whole lot of guys I'm waiting to see who are the temperature shifters. You know, who are the guys that the opposing team has to base a game plan around? DJ Moore is that guy. Justin Fields' mobility is certainly that element of his game is that guy too. So you still have a roster that needs to play it somewhat close to the vest because you're not Kansas City. You're not Philadelphia. You're not Buffalo. You don't have the offensive firepower to just overcome a bunch of mistakes sort of, you know, regardless of how you start. You can't start slow and say we're just going to come back in this game based off of all the playmakers that we can just overwhelm an opponent with. You ain't got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. So on the whole, it's still a team that needs to not be mistake prone. They have to play efficiently, effectively, mistake limited, if not mistake free, but certainly mistake limited type of football. And that falls in line with exactly how Matt Eberflus likes to operate anyway. Now, if this thing grows, you know, in the seasons to come and they're really rolling offensively, you can take some more chances. And that actually, to me, is I'm going to find it intriguing to see how Justin Fields plays quarterback as a passer. Because to me, there's a version of Justin Fields potentially still being, I shouldn't say still, but potentially having mistakes in reads, throwing interceptions, but if it skews towards kind of like early Peyton Manning, where he's throwing a lot of touchdowns and some interceptions also, where you're seeing a guy begin to cut it loose more so as a passer, to kind of trust his read and just get the ball out of his hands. And as he's figuring that out on the job, maybe there's going to be some multi-interception games in there. But perhaps if it's balanced with some multi-touchdown games also. There's a version of that where just a guy who's developing as a passer, who's developing his anticipation, and he's still a fairly risk-averse guy as a passer, and that's a part of what, you know, to me and my evaluation of Justin Fields has always been. He's not a guy who gets confused by what he sees from the defense that often. I do believe he's a risk-averse passer, though, and so he doesn't necessarily want to, like, throw a guy open and sort of trust his ability
pass
to do that.
Yeah,
trust the teammates' ability to kind of get there and make the play on it.
I can run for 15 yards instead.
Yep, I'm better off running for 15 or 50 yards as opposed to taking a risk throwing the football into traffic or throwing with a little more anticipation. So in his development as a passer, there's a formula this season where maybe Justin Fields' touchdown passes take a big leap forward, but also his interceptions perhaps tick up and are still in the double digits as well. But there's a way that could look where we could still see a guy who's developed a lot as a passer, but the Bears throw it with more volume, and the fact that he's throwing with anticipation and trying some things in some tighter windows mean that maybe he's going to be more prone to the interception as well.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. Like you said, as long as there are touchdowns on the other side of that as well. But I bring up the word mistake and ask – you know, how valuable it is in terms of, you know, getting victories, because it answers both questions that we posed before the break. How, you know, do I think the Bears are going to win? And they have to minimize mistakes,
yeah,
right? That's going to be the key for them. Like you said, with this type of team, how do I feel about a Justin Fields versus Bears winning kind of a thing? I think it comes down to mistakes for Justin Fields, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see progress, but like, if you can, even if you're around where you were last year and you minimize mistakes, like you said, you are risk averse, but you minimize those things. Everything that we've talked about, 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, that can't be the ratio, mm-hmm. right? So you got to minimize those things. Leading the league in fumbles, we can't do that this year, right? We got to minimize those mistakes in those areas as well, protecting the football better. So those things are smaller, you know, dumping off the pass to the running back or to the wide receiver on those screens. Those are easy. Minimizing mistakes so those don't end up in incompletions, right? Because that affects you. So those things right there are important to me. And then, you know, if we're making fewer mistakes, if the Bears are making fewer mistakes as a squad, then that equates to victories as well. So hopefully those two things, you know, mistakes and lack of them leads to some positivity for the Chicago Bears. But let's go to the phones.
And let's do it.
Let's take some calls. 312-644-6767. Taking your thoughts on predictions for the game on Sunday. And then, which I think is a very good question, how do you weigh Justin Fields' success versus wins for the Chicago Bears? Mm-hmm. What is more important to you? All right, let's go to Jeff out in Evanston. So, Jeff, finally get some Bears football on Sunday. Finally get to talk about a real game, huh?
Every year I look forward to the first game, and this year playing the Packers' first game again, and yeah, I have the feel in my heart that this time they're going to take them down. There'll be no halftime surprises with Aaron Rodgers coming out and stuffing the Bears after a real good first half. So I think a big factor is going to be the Fields and the fact they don't have Rodgers scrambling around back there pulling the surprise.
What do you think Jordan Love? How do you think Jordan Love's going to look, Jeff?
I don't think he's going to be looking very good. He'll look good in a way because he's playing against the Bears defense, but the Bears defense is better than it was last year, and towards the end of the year they were a pretty scrappy bunch. So I mean, their defensive line is what it is. They've improved it, maybe not by very much, but they have improved every segment of that defense. So, and with Jordan Love, you mentioned the fact he's not a runner. Aaron Rodgers is a runner. We had to watch that for all the world for, felt like decades, but, you know, just a little over a decade. So I think, you know, Love is not a guy that's going to make people happy they spent $150 on his jersey.
that's a great one. Thanks for the call, Jeff. I went to go look real quick at Jordan Love last year and 21 dropbacks, no sacks.
Okay.
Wasn't sacked once.
All right.
In 21 dropbacks all last year. Four different games. Didn't have much, you know, didn't have many attempts in these games, but still, nonetheless, 21 dropbacks. He was 14 for 21, but not one sack. That says a lot for a quarterback that doesn't get a lot of playing time to be in that space. Now, if you go back to his rookie year, a little bit different. In 62 attempts, sacked three times. That sounds like a rookie.
Yeah,
even decent.
Still not bad. Still not bad.
He had one sack each in three of his six games that he played, but everything outside of that, no sacks. But still, last year, right, he develops a little bit more. You see that? I'm trying to think of the Bears, and we're talking about his elusiveness.
Right.
I'm really trying to set myself up for the loss. Right. Like, how did the Bears lose? How do they lose? Right. Uh-huh. But I love Jeff's optimism because it comes from the preseason, and the optimism exists, and then the first preseason game happens. Justin Fields throws the tutty to Khalil, throws it to DJ Moore, and you're like, oh, my God. This is exactly what they said it was going to be, fast and fun.
Yeah.
And then the first game of the season comes, and I'm like, no, there's no way it happens twice, where the Bears come out and, like, smash the Green Bay Packers because that's what's supposed to happen because Jordan Love isn't as good as Justin Fields and the team's better. And it's like, that's not what happens in my reality, where the Bears actually follow through on things. So again, I'm trying to figure out how that happens. It's not because you're sacking Jordan Love,
right?
Not putting pressure on him, you're not sacking him for sure. So like, you're banking on Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens to do the job. And I'm saying it in a good way,
right?
And like, how are the Bears going to win? Well, our interior defensive linemen end up being exceptional in this game. And you shut down the run. You force Jordan Love to beat you. You do get after him a couple times, and you do force him into a turnover. And then the Bears, like, I can see that, but I'm trying to figure out, you know, something else, and it's getting away from me.
I mean, the Packers run game, because what I saw in the preseason, I'm not abundantly confident that the Bears are just going to stymie a team that's run the ball as well as Green Bay has run the ball over the years that Matt LaFleur has been their head coach. You know, they went out, signed Andrew Billings. You know, he's supposed to be their run-stuffing interior defensive lineman. I wasn't overly impressed in the preseason what we saw from him. Now, you know, he's a guy who's played well in his NFL career, has done, you know, pretty good in that regard. It is a different scheme for him, and he's trimmed down and lost some weight. So, you know, I'm hopeful that Andrew Billings will be better in the regular season than what I believe he was in the preseason. It's a couple of times he's getting run up out of there in the preseason. Maybe it's a veteran guy who wasn't completely committed to just like playing at his best, playing at his peak during the preseason. But between Andrew Billings, Justin Jones, those are going to be your frontline guys on the defensive interior. And then you do need, because they are going to rotate bodies up front. That's where you need Zach Pickens, Javon Dexter, to your point, to be good, to develop quickly. Pickens is the guy who I was more impressed by during the preseason between the two of them, because he just seems to have a better knack for getting increases to make plays. And as you engage a blocker to get off that block and not stay sort of stuck to and stymied by a block. I think Dexter got better throughout the preseason at getting out of his stance more quickly, engaging the blocker, trying to get some movement into the backfield, because that's what this scheme does call for. But it's a more difficult transition for certain guys. I went through the transition of being a guy who was, my last 2 years in college, I was in a two-gap scheme at Iowa, and you get used to match-stepping with offensive linemen and trying to hold them up at the line of scrimmage to stop them from advancing on linebackers, and that's very different than some one-gap schemes and the scheme the Bears are running right now, where you get out of your stance on the snap of the football or on the movement of the lineman across from you, and you're more so avoiding blocks. You're not necessarily going to make like quick swim moves into the backfield. You still want to play into the block on first and second down, but do so with a wider shade where you're working upfield into the opposing backfield and having presence on the other side of the line of scrimmage. You're not trying to really maintain contact with the offensive lineman as long within the current scheme the Bears are running here. That's where Javon Dexter needs to keep developing. Right now, his get-off is still kind of slow and inconsistent. He plays into blocks and doesn't get off the block that quickly, that consistently. Pickens right now has been more adept at doing that. So between the two, which one would I anticipate being impactful earlier? From what I saw in the preseason, Zach Pickens is the guy who's got a better feel for that right now. But both are very talented guys physically, but one of them just has a better feel for how you get into creases and get involved in making plays.
I love that you pointed that out, because I think we as fans, right, we hear about, oh, Javon Dexter, that's not what he was told to do in college. But to hear it from that perspective, like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And if you're doing that and you're trying to make literally like millisecond decisions and you've been training your body to keep a guy upright so that way you can anticipate, don't let him advance on the linebackers. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing that and matching his steps, like you said, and you've been doing that for 2 years or he was a junior at Florida. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're doing that. And then to come into a brand new scheme in the NFL where it's faster, bigger, stronger. And you're like, yeah, all that you did. Yeah, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. Whereas like a Zach Pickens, obviously I have zero idea about his defensive scheme, but get after it.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead. Yeah. And if you're telling somebody to just get after the quarterback every single time, or, you know, getting the running back, follow the ball, it's much different than here's how we are going to optimize our defense and having it operate this way. You're a soldier at that point. So that learning curve definitely has to come right there. Let's take this one last call before we go to break. Let's go to Mark out in Spring Grove. So Mark, talking about predictions for the Bears on Sunday, what you got?
Yeah, I'm thinking that the Bears are going to be able to pull this one off. You're looking at last season, there were a lot of games that they lost by a very small margin. And you had Justin, who was taking off running like a bat out of heck there. And you don't want to see that, but he still has the capabilities of doing that. So if we've improved our blocking and give him just a little bit more time, and he stays in the pocket on occasion and gets the ball out quickly, I think that we're going to give him a lot of trouble this year.
That's a fair and a positive assessment of things. Right now, I feel like there's a degree of Bears fandom that just kind of thinks we've seen greatness at QB from the Packers for 30 years, and it's just hard to assume that's going to continue. Jordan Love doesn't need to be great right away because he is in a system. Part of what prolonged Aaron Rodgers' career was because when Matt LaFleur came in, it was very different than how they operated with Mike McCarthy. It wasn't, Aaron, you got to do everything. It was, we're going to support you with a run game. We're going to bring down that volume of run to pass. We're going to go more play action. And yeah, as they kind of, you know, got more accustomed to each other, they gave Aaron Rodgers more ability pre-snap to audibleize and do some different things. But it was a system that didn't say, Aaron, you got to be the hero 9 snaps out of 10.
Right.
So Jordan Love goes into that scenario where now you will get back to what even that early Matt LaFleur, Packers head coach sort of philosophy was, where a lot of the play calling would be up to him. You don't expect Jordan Love to have to audibleize that much, but certainly the run-pass ratio should take pressure off of Jordan Love. And some of the stats you quoted earlier, we're already seeing early in his career in limited playing time, but he hasn't been a guy to take a lot of sacks. He hasn't necessarily been a turnover-prone quarterback either. So there's potential that's there. And, you know, I like that Bears fans are excited and feeling positive about things, but I wouldn't presume that the Packers are just going to come out here laying down just because finally the bad man is gone.
Yeah, they think everything's okay. No. Let's not forget Jordan Love did take a master class in quarterbacking from Aaron Rodgers for the last couple of seasons. Well, what do they think up in Wisco? We are going to talk to Pete Doherty after this. He is the Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette, and he's going to let us know what the expectations of Jordan Love are for this upcoming season. Pete Doherty joins the show next. It's Gabe, it's Ant, it's 670 The Score.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Jordan is a great guy off the field, and of course he's a good quarterback too. So, you know, we don't just text, you know, every week or anything like that, but we are cool. We're friends and stuff like that. So, but in terms of scheme and stuff like that, I'm not about to go tell the defense what to expect because I have no idea what their offense is going to do.
Little Justin Fields right there. It's Gabe. It's Ant. It's 670 The Score. We are just overly excited for the game on Sunday. As mentioned, a ton of coverage here on 670 The Score. I know Mully, Olin, and Patrick Manley got your pregame and your postgame. Long day for those guys. But you can listen to that here on 670 The Score. If you're riding around or you download the app, you can also catch Anthony and I doing Bears coverage on Fox 32.
Right.
Anthony will be doing pregame, postgame. I'll be out at a bar, not drinking, with former Bear Corey Wooten. Will be doing some live stuff as well. And then Friday, Saturday, don't forget, Bears Unleashed on Fox 32, 9:30 p.m., Anthony, myself, Cassie Carlson, got a great show lined up for you. And we are going to be talking about these Green Bay Packers. And that's who we get to wrap a little bit about with our next guest joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He's a Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette, and he is hanging out with us right now, Pete Doherty. What's going on, Pete? How are you, man?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Anxiously waiting for Sunday's game, and I'm sure you know, all Wisconsinians are feeling the same, ready to see what Jordan Love's going to do against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it's a whole new world for people who follow this team. So I think this is going to be a really interesting season. You know, it was kind of Groundhog's Day for the last decade, you know, and so this will be different, interesting, and you know, we'll probably have a pretty good sense by 8 or 10 games in whether Jordan Love's good enough. I'm not saying definitive answer, but, you know, I think we'll have a decent idea by then.
So I've been referencing just how eerily similar the path has been that Aaron Rodgers has taken out of Green Bay to what Brett Favre did, the multiple years of will he or won't he, and the quarterback in waiting being there, and maybe he didn't necessarily shepherd him under his wing that closely. And then even going to the New York Jets, the initial destination that Brett Favre went to. How similar is the spot that Jordan Love is at in his career to where Aaron Rodgers was initially? Because a lot of folks forget there was a whole lot of uncertainty about whether or not Aaron Rodgers was going to be capable of performing at a high level, and if Green Bay had made the right choice of not bringing back Favre. How similar a spot is Jordan Love in at this point in his career?
You know, in a lot of ways, I mean, it's incredibly similar. You know, they both sat 3 years before they played, you know, so before they got the job, so they got it in the fourth year. So that's exactly on the money, and it's really rare in this league, too. Rodgers was, what, the 24th pick, I think, and Love was 26. You know, they were drafted right around the same spot. So it's really similar that way. Rodgers took over a team that had been to the NFC Championship game the year before. So, you know, I think he had more proven talent, veteran talent on offense to work with. But their defense was less talented than it is now. And they actually have some talented young skill players, or apparently talented young skill players, but they're all rookie and first-year guys. So there's going to be, you know, a lot of mistakes out there, I would think, over the next 18 weeks. But there are a lot of similarities between the setting, and that's why I kind of brought up 8 to 10, you know, games in, because it was either seven or eight games into the 08 season, which was Rodgers' first year as a starter. The Packers, they had their bye, and they extended his contract. So they saw enough in that time to say, this is our guy going forward. So I don't think it's unreasonable to think that it'll be similar with Love, or they should have a good feeling by 10 weeks or so. He's a little less advanced, I'm sure, than Rodgers was because of the college background. But it's really similar, you know, with all those things. Favre, Rodgers, Love, it's amazing.
Yeah, the one thing is not similar is the fact that Jordan Love's going to be starting with two second-year receivers in Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. What do you think about the connection that Jordan Love has with them? What have you seen maybe during training camp together with those guys? I mean, you've heard Romeo Doubs speak highly of Jordan Love, you know, in some of these last interviews, saying, you know, he can do what Aaron Rodgers did, which Aaron Rodgers last year didn't have the greatest season, so that's very possible. But you've heard some smitten talk between the wide receivers and the quarterback. What can you say about the relationship between everyone?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's face it. You know, Love is what, 25, I think, 24, 25. He's much closer in age to all these guys. Rodgers found out the same thing Favre did, which, you know, when Rodgers got here, Favre was already an old guy. And I think Rodgers is going to be totally different than Favre. And at the end, he ended up being a really similar guy in a lot of ways. There's so much, these quarterbacks in their mid-30s are so much older than everybody else. It's just different for them. And so these guys are much closer in age. So it seems like they get along great. You never know what's going on behind the scenes, but it sure seems like it. Love and Doubs have a really good chemistry. You know, if you're anybody guessing, you're going to guess that Doubs is going to catch a lot of passes this year. He'll probably lead the team in receptions. Watson's still the more important player because he just scares defenses with that long speed. And he's, what is he, 6'5", and he runs 4.37 or 4.39. I mean, he can pick it up and put it down. And he's a big play guy, and he makes the plays that change games. So the question, if both those guys have a hamstring injury right now. Well, Watson's is out of the blue. Doubs had it a couple weeks ago, so you know, who knows whether either or both will play this week or not. But Watson's a really talented guy, and he's improved from last year. I think he could end up being a really good player if he stays healthy, because he had health issues this year. Now this hamstring now is kind of, you know, it's a little bit of a red flag popping up.
How much concern is there about David Bakhtiari? Was it just a vet day, or is there concern he may not be ready for Sunday?
So when camp started, he was practicing every other practice. Once they started playing the preseason games, he was going once a week, and he didn't play in the games. Last year, when he came back, you know, he missed the first couple of games. His practice schedule was all over the place. Some weeks he practiced once. Sometimes he practiced twice. I think this is just the way it's going to be. They feel like they have a pretty good handle on how much he can tolerate and still be ready to play and also play well. And then last the season too. So this week's practice schedule, I'm assuming he's just going to go once, probably tomorrow if they're in pads, and he'll play Sundays. You know, it's always shaky with a guy who's got a knee like this, but you know, I think they think they're going to get a full season out of him or something really close to it. We'll see.
We're talking to Pete Daugherty here from the Green Bay Press Gazette. He's the Packers columnist hanging out with us. I'm Gabe Ramirez, along with Anthony Heron here on 670 The Score. Pete, I got to find out what the Packers fans are thinking about this Bears team, right? We know what we're thinking here in Chicago. Everyone thinks Justin Fields is going to throw for 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns. Bears going to win 10 games, win the NFC. That's what they think here, majority of us at least. But what's the perspective of Packers fans when they look a little bit down south?
You know, I don't have a great feel for that because I just, when I'm out, I'm not asking people about that. You know, I'm not asking my friends about that. But all I have to go by is the snarky stuff on Twitter. So, you know, take that for what it's worth, because they're always, of course, going to make fun of them because the Packers have had the upper hand for a while here. But, you know, we all know that can change fast. I did a chat today with fans where they submitted questions, and one fan basically said, it's a given the Bears are going to crush them this week. Do you think it'll be fairly close, or do you think it'll be a total blowout? So apparently some people are afraid of the Bears or afraid for the Packers for the Bears. So, but I don't have a great feel for what people – I'm guessing, you know, they're feeling their oats about the Bears. The Packers fans are feeling their oats about the Bears until the Bears start beating the Packers regularly again.
Which makes sense. They have – I mean, it's fair. We understand that. But I still think it's going to be just a good game. I think it's going to be two teams that are, you know, trying to figure out their identities and what direction they want to head in. And, you know, the Packers have a ton of questions with Jordan Love and what that team is going to look like post Aaron Rodgers. And then the Bears themselves are still trying to figure out what they're going to do with Jordan Love, or excuse me, with Justin Fields.
How do Packers fans at the moment feel about Joe Barry running the defense?
From what I can tell, they're more down on him than up, you know, quite a bit more. Now, last year, it really looked like they were going to be a good defense. They had appeared to have a lot of talent. They had like seven former first round picks playing on the defense. And you were guessing, like if you watched training camp, they dominated the offense most of training camp. They practiced against the Saints, and they dominated those two practices. They dominated the Saints offense. So I was thinking, you know, they're for sure going to be top 10 in scoring. Maybe they'll be top five. And they ended up being like 16th. I mean, they were right smack dab in the middle of the league. And they were as average can be. So either they overjudged their talent or, you know, Barry, there's just something that Barry wasn't doing right. Adjustments he wasn't making or using the way he was using players, the way he was calling games, something just wasn't working there. LaFleur kept him because he wanted – you know, the consistency, you want the continuity of staying in the same defense for a third year. They added some more talent this year to the defense. And, but I think I'm guessing from what the vibe I pick up on, and certainly just as an outside observer, you know, I think they're guilty till proven innocent at this point. So, you know, I think there's some skepticism about just how good they're going to be or just how good of a coordinator Joe Barry is.
If Rashawn Gary either can't go or just doesn't look like the best version of himself, how big a blow is that to the defense as a whole?
Oh, it's huge. He might be their best guy. So he missed, you know, the first couple weeks of camp. And then for a couple weeks, he was just doing individual stuff. And then finally, right towards the end, he started doing team. And he did one-on-ones. And his first day, he did one-on-ones. You know, Zach Tom's a right tackle. He's a pretty good player, you know, decent player. To second year guys, you know, he's not bad. And Gary just smoked him a practice or two later. Same thing again. Gary looked much better than I would have guessed. Just starting to get back into it. It sounds like he's going to play. So my guess is he's just going to play on really obvious passing downs this week. So, you know, third and long.
Let me ask you this. I mean, obviously you yourself, Pete, have been covering the Packers for a very long time now. You know, you have your Favre, you have your Rodgers, and now you know, not even just a fan that's watching the Packers themselves, but you as a writer now are entering a new stage in your career where you're going to be covering a different type of quarterback. How do you feel about the Jordan Love era in Green Bay?
Oh, you know, reinvigorated, refreshed. It's really, really interesting. No matter which way it goes, it's going to be really interesting to watch. You know, like I said earlier, it had become Groundhog Day around here. They were going to win anywhere from 10 to 13 games. They were going to make the playoffs. They were going to be a legit contender. And then every year since after winning the Super Bowl, it ended in huge disappointment. It was just the same stuff every year. And so now this is just a totally different vibe, a totally different team. changing quarterbacks changes everything. So, it's just for me, for being an outside observer covering the team, it's just it's really interesting.
And from our perspective, trying to look at the talent around Justin Fields, what his development looks like, we've been discussing tonight on the show the combination of whether or not it's really important for the Bears to win a bunch of games this season or whether or not Justin Fields and his development is more key. What position are the Packers in right now? Is the bigger factor whether or not you see Jordan Love and if he starts to look like a quarterback they can build around? Or is it about the win-loss record? And regardless of how Jordan Love looks, they're just trying to win games because that's what Packers fans have become accustomed to.
I mean, in my opinion, just having observed the league, I mean, if I'm the Packers, I'm much more concerned about the former and how this guy looks, how much he improves during the season. Is he making the same mistakes in December that he made in September? My main concern this year, of course, they're trying to win games. And you never know what might happen. I mean, this division may not be very good. So, you know, any team that's just a tick above everybody else could, you know, have a pretty good record just from beating everybody in the division. So you never know what's going to happen. But if I'm the Packers, I am 100% concerned mostly about how does Jordan Love look? Does he show enough where he can be the guy for the future? Does he improve all those things? And if they end up going, you know, 6-11, but by the end of the year he looks like he's a pretty promising starter, then, you know, if I'm the Packers, I feel fine about that because they're really playing for 24 and 25 in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's interesting, Pete, you say that, because, and to this point, I think both teams are going to be watching their own team more and just concerned about their play more so. I mean, they want the victory, right? That's going to be important, obviously, in the grand scheme of things. But I think in this, particularly this first game, the teams are going to be obsessed with what it is they're doing and if they're executing it at a high level. Pete, appreciate you giving us some insight. And I'm glad you feel reinvigorated.
Cause
it makes sure, you know, everybody wants their job to be fun and exciting at times. So I understand it. And poor you and your groundhog days and making playoffs.
We just keep winning all these division titles.
We're just hating. We hope we can experience just a taste of that for the next couple of years. All right, Pete, thanks for hanging out. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course, Pete Doherty from the Green Bay Gazette. Hanging out with us here on 670.
Spoiled. Just spoiled rotten.
Aw. You got to watch playoff football.
We got Hall of Fame QB play for 30 years.
Oh, I got Aaron Rodgers.
Poor
again.
Us.
Poor us. Are you kidding me, bro? I get it. Because you're the Indiana Pacers of the 90s.
Oh, okay.
You're not winning championships. You're just above average.
You're only winning two. The Atlanta Braves of the 90s,
okay.
If you will.
Okay.
You know, you get a couple of rings.
Yeah.
The Braves got one in the 90s, but you got your ring.
You're
good. Got your two rings. You got one ring with each QB, but it's 30 years of excellence, but it feels like maybe you could have had more rings.
It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough. We are selfish as football fans.
Yeah.
Like right. Super Bowl every year, right? Every year I want a Super Bowl.
Or bust.
I saw a meme the other day, and it was just like the teams that have never won a Super Bowl.
Hmm.
It's depressing to think.
The Bills, the Bengals, the Browns. Yeah,
franchises that have been around a long time.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, I think it was Lions was up there.
Yep.
Right?
Cardinals
was up there. Yeah. And you're saying to yourself, oh my God, you've been a fan of that team for, you know, I know we understand that here for Cubs fans and stuff like that, but you've been a fan of that team forever. You've never won. That stuff hurts. That's why I say you should just be happy with some winning seasons instead of thinking it's Groundhog Day. All right, going to play some audio for you from Justin Fields. What does he have to say about the upcoming game against the Green Bay Packers? Play that after this. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Phone lines are open if you want to call. You got any Bears thoughts? We'd love to hear them. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron. Phone number here is 312-644-6767. You can text in as well. What does it say? I was going 24 Super Bowls and losing four times is unreal. Oh, you're talking about the Bills. 4 years in a row. Didn't we say that?
Said the Bills. Yeah.
Oh, I'm reading the text wrong. Sorry. having issues over here with my eyes. We were going to play some Bears audio for you. Get to hear from Justin Fields. What does he think about the rivalry with the Green Bay Packers? He's only had it a couple times. I mean, I'm sure Justin Fields wishes Aaron Rodgers was still in Green Bay.
You think so?
Don't you find him to be that kind of a quarterback? That kind
just
of
as far
athlete?
As like having the opportunity to beat him kind of thing?
Oh, I want to play you until I beat you. Like I lose in a game and then let's play it again.
Mm.
Let's play again because this time I think I got you.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. I mean, as much as anything, the opportunity to beat Jordan Love might be appealing as well.
To prove that you're better than that guy?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, that's some of your contemporaries who you're more directly compared with.
Who's someone that whooped your ass all the time, maybe like in the Big Ten, that you maybe saw for, you know.
Is this like a fictitious universe we're talking about? Or I'm trying to think of what scenario might be presented where that would have taken place.
You never hear an arrogant, ever hear an arrogant Anthony Harris. So this is great. I actually love this.
Trying to get a sense for what you mean. I'm not familiar with this concept you speak of.
I love this. I'm going to stay in this space here for a
little. Give me the business.
Yeah, you had an offensive lineman that, you know, just was a dog and he always got the best of you.
Yeah. You're speaking a foreign language. I don't know.
Kicked our ass.
Who's an offensive lineman that made the league that when you were going up against him, you said, this guy's probably, he's good enough to make the league?
There was a guy who snuck me one time. There was a guy named Ryan Deem. He was an offensive tackle actually from Northern Illinois. We played NIU one game. He had a long career with the Colts once he got to the NFL. But they ran like a double reverse one time. And so some teams, when they do like a double reverse, they'll have the offensive tackle will sort of hinge down, almost kind of disappearing from the vision of the defensive end. And so he's gone. I'm watching the ball. One guy comes one way. The other guy's going the other way. And then suddenly, when they reverse it back coming towards me, I don't realize that Ryan Deem, the offensive tackle, has, after he sort of steps down to hinge out of my vision, he's done this sort of arc release running all the way around, kind of outside, like up the field a little bit, and then sort of curves back around.
So pulling, but not really.
Right. And it times up in a way where, so after I have to plant my foot and turn and go back in the opposite direction, and Ryan Deem is a huge individual. Like, I don't remember his exact measurements, but he was like 8'5" and about 670 pounds. So I plant my foot and start to turn back to react towards the reverse that's coming in the opposite direction. It's one of, like, you play the game, every once in a while, you'll hear what's about to happen to you before it actually happens. And so the reaction from the crowd actually gave me a little bit of a heads up because they saw this mountain of a man peeling back. And this is late 90s when I'm in college, before they had like the crackback rules and, you know, before like targeting was a foul and everything else. Yeah, there were no fouls for situations like this. So he could just come a headhunting for me. So he's peeling back and he's about to crackback block him. And I hear the crowd at the very last moment, like this collective gasp and can't say, like, I can kind of hear everybody like fearing for my life.
And you're like, what was that for?
Right. Because they can see Andre the Giant about to just clean my clock. So just in time at the last moment, like peek out my left eye. And I like see the eclipse just coming to overtake me. And so just as he's making contact, my cat-like reflexes take over. So he hits me, and I go spinning through the air like a top. I don't know how many revolutions I made in midair, but I didn't want him to flat back me, so I was able to, like, contort my body at the last moment so I could at least land on all fours, Spider-Man style. So it was like the first superhero landing before all the Marvel movies where they all, like, land. They jump off some tall building, and then they, like, land on all fours, one fist in the air as they hit the ground. That's basically what I did when he cracked back blocked on me.
That's a big dude. 6'6" 7/8".
Oh, man.
Let's call him 6'7".
That was a lot of man right
6'7",
there.
6'7", 340.
What does they have the weight listed at? 340?
340.
Yeah, he was a good, like, 8 foot and 550 pounds. Whatever Andre the Giant's measurements were, that was Ryan Deem.
Shout out to Ryan Deem. He's probably listening right now.
Super Bowl
champion.
Yeah, man. He played for a long time. He was protecting Peyton Manning's front side with the Colts. Very good football player who snuck me one time in a game.
Won the Super Bowl, the Bears lost. Wonder about how his parents felt about that.
Yep, that was the one.
It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron. You're on 670 The Score. Hopefully Justin Fields fears no one, including Aaron Rodgers, including Jordan Love. And he did speak.
Pumping no Kool-Aid, Gabe.
No, none of that. And he did speak about just the history of the rivalry itself.
There's a big opportunity here. This team hasn't won back-to-back against the Packers since 07. This Favre, I think, was a backup. How do you view the opportunity to kind of level the playing field between the Bears and the Packers in this rivalry?
You know, of course, it's a big rivalry, but, you know, it's game one. It's the most important game of the season, so not really looking back towards history. I'm looking to, you know, now. So, like I said before, we got a different team this year. Last year, that was last year, so it's a different year. But, yeah, I mean, we don't really care what, you know, happened in the past. That doesn't affect, you know, what's going to happen on Sunday. So we're just looking to go out there, play our best, and, you know, put our best foot forward.
I love it. I'm listening to him. I wish he had a little more swag in his, like, you know, what he was saying. But I'm here for it.
You want to talk some smack? You want all that bulletin board material? You just want to put it out there?
I guess.
Do people still have bulletin boards, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
People are comfortable in their ways. It's
like a digital message board or whatever that would be these days.
One that once you write it, like, takes a screenshot, sends it to your phone or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess I could imagine, though, when you're being asked these questions consistently over and over again, then you kind of just, it turns into like robot mode.
Hmm.
But I hear what he's saying. It's new season, new everything. You got to have that mindset and that outlook. What do you think about him saying the first game of the season is the most important game of the season?
Yeah, it's kind of like breakfast. Sure. I mean, why not? You know, lunch is going to be real important when you get to that. Dinner's going to feel real important once I get out of here and eat some Lawrence's fish or whatever. Yeah. I think that's what the wife brought home. But, you know. Sure, I think for now, and then game two, he'll talk about how important that is. Also, I feel like, because I agree with what you're saying, where his energy in addressing the media today seemed like real low key, like a low energy kind of vibe from the clips that we played so far. Is that, you know, you're coming off of the preseason and training camp, and you know, like you referenced, kind of answering these same questions over and over again. Now you're leading into the opener. It's going to be in that national window on Fox at 3:30. It is a big game. But, you know, he's a calm before the storm kind of guy where, you know, you don't necessarily hear Justin Fields or see Justin Fields be super animated during the week that often anyway. And I think this is a lot of that, just in not wanting to say anything real inflammatory about the opponent before the game, but also just trying to ease into Sunday. Think back to last season. But before he started going off as just an individual talent, all these highlights left and right. But like the initial weeks of last season, when the offense wasn't clicking and he wasn't putting up stats and everybody's talking about him, and we cut away to the shots of him on the sideline, like doing breathing exercises and some folks kind of clowning him for that. And then, you know, then he starts to go off and he becomes like, it gets to the point where over the offseason, he's voted one of the top 100 players in the league. But there was a path that he kind of had to walk through early in the season. We're like, man, well, not we, but I'll use the collective. We, a lot of folks are trying to figure out, does he have it? Can he handle it? Is he freaking out on the sidelines? You know, just watching him like breathing and everything. And then it got to the point where just watching him make plays over and over again and seeming more in command of the situation than he had at any point prior to that. And then all that kind of went away. But a lot of those same elements were still a part of Justin Fields in trying to find moments to keep himself calm, to keep himself composed, and to continue to just kind of put the work in to try to improve at the craft. Because, you know, like I've been talking to you about for a couple of years, man, that a lot of this stuff that feels like it comes really naturally to the really rhythmic passers and the guys who just kind of see the field in a broader way than Justin Fields sees it and throw the ball with more anticipation than he does. Some guys that comes more naturally, more quickly to than others. And Jalen Hurts has been the most direct comparison that people have made there, because Justin Fields seems to physically be kind of a souped up version of that, where Hurts wasn't nearly as accurate a passer in college as Fields was. The early stretch of his NFL career, he was not as gifted an athlete that we saw with Fields, but he is a guy who has improved his accuracy. He is a guy who is above average as an athlete as well. And he is surrounded by immense talent in Philadelphia. And we saw what that was able to manifest for the Eagles last season and individually for Jalen Hurts. But that's not a linear path. It certainly hasn't been a linear path to that level of development for Jalen Hurts. And it hasn't been a linear path to that level of development for Justin Fields. I think we're just, you know, the sort of subdued energy there. I just think he's a guy just on a slow build towards a really big season for him. I don't think it is the It's the biggest season of his career so far, but it's not like make or break where either he proves right. he's MVP or he's not. But it is definitively a very big season for Justin Fields. I think he's just on this slow burn building towards Sunday.
Yeah, most of Justin Fields is going to be in the NFL for a long time.
Right.
Whether it's as a starter for the Chicago Bears or with some other team mm-hmm. that's trying to fix him if he doesn't work out here, he's going to be in the NFL for some time. So he can rest assured that that's going to be the case. But he does feel confident in that, and he wants to be able to prove that he is that guy for the Chicago Bears. We're going to play some more audio from Justin Fields on the other side. What does he think about the work that he's put in so far this offseason? We'll hear from Justin. And then you mentioned Jalen Hurts. I've been talking a lot lately about Josh Allen's stats in year three. And I think a lot of people aren't mentioning him. They're only mentioning Jalen Hurts. So I would love to rattle off some Josh Allen stats for you as well. And so we can take a look at his leap in year three. And we'll circle back on Jalen Hurts as well. But Fields, some more football and some more fun on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron. It's 670 The Score.
Bears.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Phone lines are open if you want to call. You got any Bears thoughts? We'd love to hear them. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron. The phone number here is 312-644-6767. You can text in as well. What does it say? I was going 24 Super Bowls and losing four times is unreal. Are you talking about the Bills? 4 years in a row. Didn't we say that?
We said the Bills. Yeah.
Oh, I'm reading the text wrong. Sorry. Having issues over here with my eyes. We were going to play some Bears audio for you. Get to hear from Justin Fields. What does he think about the rivalry with the Green Bay Packers? He's only had it a couple times. I mean, I'm sure Justin Fields wishes Aaron Rodgers was still in Green Bay.
You think so?
Don't you find him to be that kind of a quarterback? That kind
just
of an
as far
athlete?
As like having the opportunity to beat him kind of thing?
Oh, I want
to
play you until I beat you. Like I lose in a game and then let's play it again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play again because this time I think I got you.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. I mean, as much as anything, the opportunity to beat Jordan Love might be appealing as well.
To prove that you're better than that guy?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, that's some of your contemporaries who you're more directly compared with.
Who's someone that whooped your ass all the time, maybe like in the Big Ten, that you maybe saw for, you know.
Is this like a fictitious universe we're talking about? Or? I'm trying to think of what scenario might be presented where that would have taken place.
You never hear an arrogant, ever hear an arrogant Anthony Herron. So this is great. I actually love this.
Get a sense for what you mean. I'm not familiar with this concept you speak of.
I love this. I'm going to stay in this space here.
Give me the business.
You had an offensive lineman that, you know, just was a dog and he always got the best of you.
You're speaking a foreign language. I don't know.
Kicked our ass.
Who's an offensive lineman that made the league that when you were going up against him, you said, this guy's probably, he's good enough to make the league?
There was a guy who snuck me one time. There was a guy named Ryan Deem. He was an offensive tackle actually from Northern Illinois. We played NIU one game. He had a long career with the Colts once he got to the NFL. But they ran like a double reverse one time. And so some teams, when they do like a double reverse, they'll have the offensive tackle will sort of hinge down, almost kind of disappearing from the vision of the defensive end. And so he's gone. I'm watching the ball. One guy comes one way. The other guy's going the other way. And then suddenly, when they reverse it back coming towards me, I don't realize that Ryan Deem, the offensive tackle, has, after he sort of steps down to hinge out of my vision, he's done this sort of arc release running all the way around, kind of outside, like up the field a little bit, and then sort of curves back around.
So pulling, but not really.
Right. Yeah. And it times up in a way where, so after I have to plant my foot and turn and go back in the opposite direction, and Ryan Deem is a huge individual. Like, I don't remember his exact measurements, but he was like 8'5" and about 670 pounds. So I plant my foot and start to turn back to react towards the reverse that's coming in the opposite direction. It's one of, like, you play the game every once in a while, you'll hear what's about to happen to you before it actually happens. And so the reaction from the crowd actually gave me a little bit of a heads up because they saw this mountain of a man peeling back. And this was late 90s when I'm in college, before they had like the crackback rules and, you know, before like targeting was a foul and everything else. Yeah, there were no fouls for situations like this. So he could just come a headhunting for me. So he's peeling back and he's about to crack back block on me. And I hear the crowd at the very last moment, like this collective gasp and get excited. Like, I can kind of hear everybody like fearing for my life.
And you're like, what was that for?
Right. Because they can see Andre the Giant about to just clean my clock. So just in time at the last moment, like peek out my left eye. And I like see the eclipse just coming to overtake me. And so just as he's making contact, my cat-like reflexes take over. So he hits me, and I go spinning through the air like a top. I don't know how many revolutions I made in midair, but I didn't want him to flat back me. So I was able to, like, contort my body at the last moment so I could at least land on all fours, Spider-Man style. So it was like the first superhero landing before all the Marvel movies where they all, like, land. They jump off some tall building, and then they, like, land on all fours, one fist in the air as they hit the ground. That's basically what I did when he cracked back blocked on me.
That's a big dude. 6'6" and 7/8"
Oh, man.
Let's call him 6'7".
That was a lot of man right 6'7", there.
6'7", 340. What
does they have the weight listed at? 340?
340.
Yeah, he was a good, like, 8 foot and 550 pounds. Whatever Andre the Giant's measurements were, that was Ryan Deem.
Shout out to Ryan Deem. He's probably listening right now.
Super Bowl champion. Yeah, man. He played for a long time. He was protecting Peyton Manning's front side with the Colts. Very good football player who snuck me one time in a game.
Won the Super Bowl, the Bears lost. Wonder about how his parents felt about that.
Yep, that right, was the one.
It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron. You're on 670 The Score. Hopefully Justin Fields fears no one, including Aaron Rodgers, including Jordan Love. And he did speak.
You're pumping no Kool-Aid, Gabe.
No, none of that. And he did speak about just the history of the rivalry itself.
There's a big opportunity here. This team hasn't won back-to-back against the Packers since 07. Since Favre, I think, was a backup. How do you view the opportunity to kind of level the playing field between the Bears and the Packers in this rivalry?
You know, of course, it's a big rivalry, but, it's game one. It's the most important game of the season, so not really looking back towards history. I'm looking to, you know, now. So, like I said before, we got a different team this year. Last year, that was last year, so it's a different year. But, we don't really care what, you know, happened in the past. That doesn't affect, you know, what's going to happen on Sunday. So we're just looking to go out there, play our best, and, you know, put our best foot forward.
I love it. I'm listening to him. I wish he had a little more swag in his, like, you know, what he was saying. But I'm here for it.
You want to talk some smack? You want all that bulletin board material? You just want to put it out there?
I guess.
Do people still have bulletin boards, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
People are comfortable in their ways.
It's like a digital message board or whatever that would be these days.
One that once you write it, like, takes a screenshot, sends it to your phone or something, something like that.
Yeah.
I guess I could imagine, though, when you're being asked these questions consistently over and over again, then you kind of just, it turns into like robot mode.
Hmm.
But I hear what he's saying. It's new season, new everything. You got to have that mindset and that outlook. What do you think about him saying the first game of the season is the most important game of the season?
Yeah, it's kind of like breakfast. Sure. I mean, why not? Okay. You know, lunch is going to be real important when you get to that. Dinner's going to feel real important once I get out of here and eat some Lawrence's fish or whatever. Yeah. I think that's what the wife brought home. But, you know, sure. I think for now. And then game two, he'll talk about how important that is also. I feel like, because I agree with what you're saying, where his energy in addressing the media today seemed like real low key, like a low energy kind of vibe from the clips that we played so far. Is that, you know, you're coming off of preseason and training camp and you know, like you referenced, kind of answering these same questions over and over again. Now you're leading into the opener. It's going to be in that national window on Fox at 3:30. But you know, he's a calm before the storm kind of guy, where, you know, you don't necessarily hear Justin Fields or see Justin Fields be super animated during the week that often anyway. And I think this is a lot of that, just in not wanting to say anything real inflammatory about the opponent before the game, but also just trying to ease into Sunday. Think back to last season, before he started going off as just an individual talent, all these highlights left and right. But like the initial weeks of last season, when the offense wasn't clicking and he wasn't putting up stats and everybody's talking about him, and we cut away to the shots of him on the sideline, like doing breathing exercises and some folks kind of clowning him for that. And then, you know, then he starts to go off and he becomes like, it gets to the point where over the offseason, he's voted one of the top 100 players in the league. But there was a path that he kind of had to walk through early in the season. We're like, man, well, not we, but I'll use the collective. We, a lot of folks are trying to figure out, does he have it? Can he handle it? Is he freaking out on the sidelines? You know, just watching him like breathing and everything. And then it got to the point where just watching him make plays over and over again and seeming more in command of the situation than he had at any point prior to that. And then all that kind of went away. But a lot of those same elements were still a part of Justin Fields in trying to find moments to keep himself calm, to keep himself composed, and to continue to just kind of put the work in to try to improve at the craft. Because, you know, like I've been talking to you about for a couple of years, man, that a lot of this stuff that feels like it comes really naturally to the really rhythmic passers and the guys who just kind of see the field in a broader way than Justin Fields sees it and throw the ball with more anticipation than he does. Some guys that comes more naturally, more quickly too than others. And Jalen Hurts has been the most direct comparison that people have made there, because Justin Fields seems to physically be kind of a souped up version of that, where Hurts wasn't nearly as accurate a passer in college as Fields was. The early stretch of his NFL career, he was not as gifted an athlete that we saw with Fields, but he is a guy who has improved his accuracy. He is a guy who is above average as an athlete as well. And he is surrounded by immense talent in Philadelphia. And we saw what that was able to manifest for the Eagles last season and individually for Jalen Hurts. But that's not a linear path. It certainly hasn't been a linear path to that level of development for Jalen Hurts. And it hasn't been a linear path to that level of development for Justin Fields. I think we just, you know, the sort of subdued energy there. I just think he's a guy just on a slow build towards a really big season for him. I don't think it is it's the biggest season of his career so far, but it's not like make or break where either he proves right. He's MVP or he's not, but it is definitively a very big season for Justin Fields. I think he's just on this slow burn building towards Sunday.
Yeah, most of Justin Fields is going to be in the NFL for a long time.
Right.
Whether it's as a starter for the Chicago Bears or with some other team that's trying to fix him if he doesn't work out here, he's going to be in the NFL for some time. So he can rest assured that that's going to be the case. But he does feel confident in that, and he wants to be able to prove that he is that guy for the Chicago Bears. We're going to play some more audio from Justin Fields on the other side. What does he think about the work that he's put in so far this offseason? We'll hear from Justin. And then you mentioned Jalen Hurts. I've been talking a lot lately about Josh Allen's stats in year three. And I think a lot of people aren't mentioning him. They're only mentioning Jalen Hurts. So I would love to rattle off some Josh Allen stats for you as well. And so we can take a look at his leap in year three. And we'll circle back on Jalen Hurts as well. But Fields, some more football and some more fun on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron. It's 670 The Score.
Bears.